Hey, everybody. Welcome to the People's Cup. I'm going to be your host again. My name is Ray. And today I am joined here with an old friend of mine, dude. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Sam Garcia, Taylor Middle School, class of 2011.
Hell yeah, dude. Taylor Middle School days, man. So I met this freaking guy, dude, way back when, dude. Taylor Middle School days. You were in seventh grade. I was in sixth grade. I believe we were in the basketball squad for a long time, man. And then we just kind of grew up playing sports together, dude. You had a gruesome knee injury, which kind of fucked your school up a little bit. So you had to be held back a year, which is totally understandable because you missed a shit ton of school. And then we kind of grew up together from seventh grade to shit to be graduated in high school, man. We graduated high school in 15. We played sports together, football, basketball. We did a little track. So I've known Sam for a long time, dude. Then we kind of started to rekindle a little bit because he left to play college football. I stayed in the local Albuquerque area. There was a couple times where we haven't chatted with each other, but I've been seeing you recently at the gym. Kind of want to, you know, rekindle the relationship, dude. So I'm excited to have you on the podcast, man.
It's great to see you, too.
How's your day doing?
It was actually like one of the busiest days I've had this year.
Yeah, and what happened?
And it was a 23-hour day.
Jesus.
No, just a flag football game.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Marcel Padrel today.
Really?
He looks good.
He plays?
No. I guess, I don't know. Just saw him.
Oh, you just saw him passing?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the Marcel Padrella dudes, another guy we kind of grew up with. A good dude. Years, man.
I did want to say we were co-athlete of the year together.
That is true. I forgot about those days, man. Our names are engraved on the middle school wall of Taylor Middle School forever, dude, until they fucking tear down that goddamn middle school, dude. Yeah, that was actually wild. I forgot about that. Every now and then, someone will go to Taylor Middle School for, like, their nephew's basketball game, and they're like, Ray, we saw your fucking name on the goddamn wall. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's there forever, dude.
I remember.
Engraved.
We would run miles in PE, and me and you both knew we were competing against each other for the athlete of the year, and so we would run extra miles on Fridays.
Dude, that was middle school days were wild, man. Honestly, I think back to it all the time. I had a lot more fun in middle school than I did in high school far. Like, it wasn't even close, dude. High school kind of sucked, but I'm not going to lie.
Remember Catherine's 8th grade pool party?
I do.
That was, like, better than any high school party I'd ever been.
Dude, middle school pool parties were, like, off the fucking chain, bro, and which, like, is wild.
Everybody was still sober for the most part, so.
Everyone was very sober, bro. Every now and then.
We had a good middle school. We had, like, we were really good kids.
I think our friend group were really good kids.
I think even, like, the culture of that middle school, like, we were friends with the potheads and the skaters, and, like, everybody loved everybody at that.
Oh, you're talking about, like, that. Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, there's a lot of skaters who were ripping fucking weed when they were, like, 14 years old. And then Sam and I grew up playing football. He was the quarterback of Cibola High School back in the early days, and then he actually had an opportunity to go play college football at New Mexico Highlands, correct?
Yes.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun. It was a blessing. Free education. That is
how top tier, right?
I think a lot of 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, when they first get to school, like college, especially out of state, little things like that, we are put in an uncomfortable situation for the first time in our lives of that magnitude, and a lot of kids either have to grow up very quickly or they go back home. Like, for instance, I think my freshman class on the football team, we just got in a new coach, and he probably brought in 45 to 55 freshmen.
Damn.
Six of us graduated from New Mexico Highlands.
Oh, shit. Out of that 45?
So holy shit. That is a testament to – I love Las Vegas. It is a beautiful city.
As everyone listening, it's not Las Vegas, Nevada. No, it's Las Vegas, New Mexico. It's fucking little rainy-dink town in northern New Mexico.
And it's a beautiful city, but there's not much to do if you were 18, 19 years old compared to if you went to ASU or...
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of positives to going to a small college. Really good education. You're able to really talk with professors, connect. You get really close. Well, I mean, when we're in our early 20s, you kind of make really good connections regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But it forces you because you're not going out to the clubs every weekend. You're hanging out at someone's house.
Yeah, so it's a little more intimate.
You're able to really develop some really strong friendships. I went to LA and saw one of my good buddies from college just a few weeks ago.
January. And you met your girlfriend there, right?
Alex Rodriguez,
dude. Shout out.
A-Rod.
How'd you guys meet her?
Um,
Because she was an athlete as well, right?
She was on the soccer team. I can actually, the first time I saw her, I was a sophomore and she was a freshman, and she walked into the cafeteria with the soccer team, and I was just like, whoa, that is a pretty girl.
Wow.
And, but like, very intimidating. I've always been intimidated by pretty girls. So, I didn't talk to her for years. And then one of my best friends, he had some beef with our landlord. So he had to move into, a different house. And there was a girls' soccer team had a house. There was like five girls on the soccer team, but they had an extra room. And so my buddy moved in.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, I'm not going to go over. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not dumb. And okay. So, and
I'd been there helping him move in, bro.
And I had recently gone through a breakup probably a few months before. And then me and Alex just like, really, it just happened really organically. We got along. We were friends first for a long time. But there was always some sparks.
That's cool, man. I hope one of these days I can meet her. I've yet to meet A-Rod, man. So
I talk about you all the time to her, too.
Maybe one of these days I meet you and the girls, my fiance, could go out to dinner or something, get some drinks. Have a good time. But anyways, man, on the People's Cup, we drink what the people want to drink. I reached out to Sam. He wanted some tequila. Unfortunately, I am on a sober bender right now for about the next month. So I whipped up Sam a tequila, cherry tart, and a sparkling water drink. And then I'm drinking the same thing, just less tequila, man. So let's have a good podcast, buddy. Let's cheers to that.
Cheers.
All right.
Do we down it? There's a bottle in here. I may need a refill.
We can refill at the 30-minute mark for sure. We should get that going. All right. This is episode 71. How can we make America healthier?
And better.
And better. And everything.
And yes, great.
And great.
Not great again, but
that's the slogan. Well, we'll figure it out. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Peace. All right. And we're back. So, Sam, I'm curious, not only as the host of this podcast, but as your friend, playing football, man. How was it kind of getting ingrained in from going to like the high school all-star that you were to, you know, the new kid on the roster trying to fit into kind of the scheme of things over there at New Mexico Highlands University?
I want to rewind a little bit. And I've never told you that. I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but I have a lot of appreciation for you.
For me?
Athletically, because you talked about earlier when I had hurt my knee and got held back, and I was usually one of the top athletes. I broke my knee dunking in seventh grade.
I remember. It was fucking wild.
Like, I was a 13-year-old who could go jump on the rim, but so I never really had a lot of competition athletic, like not being like cocky, but then I got held back, and then this guy, Ray Garza, same height, same speed, athletic. And, like, me and him were supposed to be competitors, but, man, we turned into be bread and butter.
We did, dude. We were, like, some of the good days, bro. It's
like, going against the Mavericks and
eighth grade basketball tournaments.
Like,
yeah.
Me and you just had chemistry. And we had never played together. Like, but, like I was saying earlier with the athlete of the year stuff, like, you just always, you were the first person to really push me and, like, make me understand I'm not the shit.
You're not
like there's some other people out there that are some dogs, and you got to start putting in some work.
That was some early days, man. Those days are a lifetime ago for me, man. I mean, I'm still very athletic. You know, I work out, go on runs. I try, like we say, we play pickleball. I'm not that good at the sport, but you know, I try to stay active, man. You know, I also had the opportunity to play college football, and I don't think they'll listen to this podcast, but the coaches at Cibola, man, they just kind of just ruined the sport for me, man.
They
ruined the sport for me, dude, in a lot of aspects, man. I could have played at Eastern. I could have played at UNM.
Southern Utah was interested.
I could have played. It's not that I didn't. I couldn't play that.
When I played in college, it was frustrating for me because I could have named you 40 guys off the top of my head from the Albuquerque area that deserved to be scholarship athletes that were just completely overlooked. And you know, that was frustrating for me. But yes, you were very capable of playing
football. It ruined the sport for me, dude. And I know some of the coaches, it just wasn't fun. You know, I even when I have kids one day, I want to remind them, like, hey, you know what, man? Like, this is a game. This is a child's game at most, you know? yes, it's very serious, and yes, it teaches you a lot of like great things about life, you know, which I will always cherish for the rest of my life. But I always just remind you that you just need to have fun, dude. Yeah. It's a game, you know. And towards my senior year, you know, our team was gelling. We kind of went through a little stint. I remember where we were kind of in the mud. We didn't know we were going to make the playoffs. And I was just like, you know what, fuck this. I'm over it. Like, it just, the coaches ruined it for me, dude. I didn't have a good time. I really didn't. And I look back, and I think I made the right decision not going to play football. Because I compare myself to another, you know, individuals that I've been around with. And I just, like my friend Blair, you know, our friend Blair, he played D1 college football at the University of New Mexico, and he was a stud right in high school. When he went, though, he just would always tell me how much he hates it.
A testament to college football players. So what you're saying, how the high school coaches, I don't want to say ruin this sport, but college coaches, because it is their livelihood.
Yeah,
they are not winning football games. Like, I think the divorce rate is really high amongst college football coaches.
I believe it.
Just because they have cots at the offices, because they're there from 6 a.m. to 10:30, and they got to be there at 6 a.m. the next day for 7 months straight.
Yeah.
And it takes a toll on a relationship. But it takes a toll on the mentality of a young man. And I think it's
1,000%, dude.
I think adversity is good. It has definitely hardened me. I'm like, going to college for free is hard, but like, college football is very demanding, and I totally get where Blair's coming from. I love Blair, but sometimes Blair had a negative attitude about sprints or.
Yeah, this is not about Blair. I'm not trying to dog on him. I just remember he would like tell me like he missed one of our good friends Ben's bachelor party. He missed his wedding because of football. Like I remember like, and that was not the only time. Like he missed key moments that like. That is very important to young adults.
Yeah.
You know, like those moments, you're like, holy shit, our friend's getting married.
Like, I know we'll be talking about politics a little later, but like, my football coach didn't let me go vote because we had practice.
Yeah.
Like, there's just things that you're not, like, there's certain standards that they uphold you to, and if you can't do it, they're going to pull your scholarship. But yeah. It's a lot of fun to play a game.
It is. I mean, it's cool that you literally got a free education for a game.
And there's like, and I think a lot of young people, regardless if they're student athletes or not, go through depression or mental health issues, especially when they first leave home.
1,000%.
18, 19-year-olds. And that just, that amplifies certain things for, I don't want to say quitting, but like a lot of people aren't even necessarily meant to go to college, and then they're kind of forced to go to college because societal norms.
Yeah.
And men, like, one thing that's important to me is I think we need a lot more men, or not just men and women in the trades, but everybody's going to college and getting $60,000 in debt, and they have no idea why they're there. When I was 18, I didn't know I was going to be a personal trainer.
Yeah. It's a rough time of your life, dude.
And yeah, so I think there's a lot of outside factors, but being able to play a game, and that I had a, I don't know, come to Jesus, to put it in a, for lack of a better term, where I really started dwelling on positivity. Oh, let's talk about this. The Secret. Have you ever read that book?
I have not read The Secret, no.
It's just about the law of attraction. I'm sure you know what the law of attraction is.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on something, and your brain will send frequencies into the universe, and you will attract those things to you. And one of the big things about that book for the law of attraction to work is you have to be in a positive frequency. You have to be thinking positive thoughts. And once I made that change, my life changed dramatically. I started dwelling on the positives rather than waking up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I'm tired, I'm groggy.
Yeah.
I have a roof over my head. I have a warm bed. I'm about to take a warm shower. Like, we take so many things for granted. And once you actually start dwelling on the positive natures of life, there's so many positives to every aspect of life. If you were able to wake up in the morning, life is amazing. And I think a lot of us take that for granted.
It's a blessing, bro. It really is a blessing. You know, I think about that stuff all the time. I get to do podcasts. You know, I get to go to work. You know, I'm I get to go run. Like, I can't even tell you, like, we're going to talk a lot about this. Probably we just open this can of beans now. Like, dude, I'm as a nurse, I see a tremendous amount of patients who are just fucking unhealthy, bro. Like, I would say, and this is kind of a rough guesstimate for me, I would say about 60% of the people that I see at my job are because they didn't take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, this person had a stroke because they didn't take care of their blood pressure because they're fucking obese, or their diabetes are out of control, or they live a very stagnant type of lifestyle. I had a patient one time tell me that she doesn't like to drink water, so she never drinks it. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, why drink like fucking a liter a day? Like, water is so important, and it blows my mind. Like, whenever I have a hard workout at the gym or I go on a run, I always have to sit down and tell myself, I thank the Lord. I always say, abide by you and bear much fruit. Because I'm a very religious person. I say, abide by you and bear much fruit. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do something like this. But then also, it gets me amped up because I'm like, I don't ever want to be like these patients that I see in the hospital who are very unsick. You know, that's why I'm always like, you know, no, I have to push myself to do stuff that is bettering not only my body, but my mind. You know, I make sure to take my vitamins. I know it's so stupid as I can say that, but take my supplements, get proper vitamin D, go on walks, on runs, you know, just be outside, be active, because
this is not stupid things to say.
Like, just minimizing your body, minimizing your mind.
What do you mean minimizing?
Like, dude, like, your body, it's the best tool you'll ever own. It's the best tool you'll ever own. And your body will do things like any tool does, right? If you take care of your lawnmower, you'll have your lawnmower forever. You'll need the best fucking lawnmower you have.
Right.
But if you neglect your lawnmower, you don't take care of it. Same thing with the car. You neglect your car, you don't take care of it, it's going to fuck up.
My kinesiology professor literally used the exact same analogy.
Yeah.
If you have a car, are you going to take care of it? This is the only one you got.
Only one you got, bro. And everyone's body comes in shapes and sizes. And sometimes I struggle with bottle dysmorphia. But I'm like, you know what? Like, you just try to be healthy, man. Like, I try to push this so much on myself, because I don't want to ever push this on other people, because who am I to say what you can and can't do? But I just try to push it so much on myself, man. You know what? Like, if I want to live a very long and good life, you know, and if one day I wake up in cancer and it takes me out, then it takes me out. But what's up?
Do you have a pen?
I do not have a pen. No, not on me. Why? What's up?
I just want to jot down a couple notes so I don't forget about them.
Yeah, man. Just write it on your phone.
Good call.
Yeah. But dude, so the next question I have for you, man, I know we're going to open a can.
Oh, I definitely had some responses to this.
Oh yeah, for sure. Go ahead, man.
Okay. Well, hopefully I don't forget the second point. The first thing, the reason I went, you nailed a big reason. So some background. My first degree
keep going.
I got in college was pre-professional health or health science at some universities, but a health science degree. I was planning on going to physical therapy or something more in the healthcare community in which you do. Exactly what you said. 60% of the people, and I know it's just a rough
It's
estimate,
a rough guess, me, yeah.
But
1,000%.
It's lifestyle. But a lot of those people are going to the hospital expecting you to fix them. They don't want to do anything for themselves. They're expecting Nurse Ray to go up and give them a pill that's going to make them feel much better, and they're going to go home and continue living the poor habit life that has gotten to that point. And so
I have a good topic, but keep going, bro. Keep
going. I had a back injury my sophomore year of college, and so going into my next year, I had to sit that year, or no, junior year.
Yeah.
And I sat a year out, and I had to be in Albuquerque for physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I started realizing, and this is while I'm reading The Secret,
check that book out, man, because it sounds good.
That time of my life. And I'm starting to realize all these people most of these people coming to physical therapy are expecting the physical therapist to make them better. They're not going to do any lifestyle changes when they go home, and it's just not going to be. So that is when I got I got an injury. So I actually got a couple extra years of scholarship of
eligibility
of free college.
Yeah.
And so I decided to get a second degree, and I got a kinesiology degree.
Nice.
Because I wanted to get into the prevention. I want to prevent people from needing to go to the hospital. I want to instill habits and just give them my knowledge of how to be a healthy human being. Health and the body is like probably the most important thing to me as a person.
Because I remember asking you at the gym that one time, I said, hey man, how do you feel about, like, is it hard trying to motivate these people to continue working out, you know? And I remember your response is, one, the hard part's already over. They already made the commitment to better their lifestyle.
They already walked. Every single person that walks through the door of the gym has made a commitment to themselves that I am here to improve myself, whether it is the most jacked dude on steroids getting ready for Mr. Olympia, or if it's an overweight, 3 chronic health conditions, just going in to walk on the treadmill for 20 minutes so that they can improve their lifestyle. They have made the conscious decision as I'm going to walk through these doors and improve myself as a person. And that makes my job easy.
Dude, so now that we're kind of cracking open this can of worms, so when I say how can we make America healthier, I think America is the greatest nation in the world, and I will always be a patriot.
Here, here.
Yeah, I'm a patriot till the day I die, and I respect that. And but what I'm saying though is, our health complex is so fucked up. It is bad, dude. It is bad. And I'm gonna talk about this, but I'm gonna get to another point. So, the American Heart Association, I believe, has said 30 minutes of walking a week is what your heart needs to live a moderate lifestyle. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That's 30 minutes of walking a week? That is insane, dude. And bro, they're all in schemes. They're all in cahoots. They're all bumping elbows, because the way you say they want me to fix them, bro, the healthcare system does not want to fix anybody, because every fucking patient who is morbidly obese, uncontrolled diabetes, uncontrolled hypertension, they bring in millions of fucking dollars. Billions of dollars.
There's no profits in a healthy population.
Billions of dollars. So when they come in, and let's say Sam comes in because he's overweight, right, or he has hypertension, they're going to give you a pill that's going to take care of your hypertension. It'll take care of your hypertension, but you know what it also does? It fucks up your liver. Fucks up your kidney.
The ingredient list.
It fucks up X, there's Y, and Z. And so now you gotta take this medication because your liver is shot because of the medication to give your blood pressure. And you know what that medication does? It fucks up your libido, blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, you're taking 13 fucking pills. Mm-hmm. And no one ever talked about, you know what, Sam? The reason why your blood pressure is through the fucking roof is because you don't fucking take care of yourself.
Because like, you only walk 30 minutes a day.
No one wants to hear it, bro. These people need to get off their fucking ass and go work out. And I'm not talking about go to the gym, go fucking run. None of that, bro. It just takes go on a walk a day, bro. Like, go fucking, just eat healthier. Like, it's not hard to live a healthy lifestyle. And that's why whenever I see someone, like, just so lazy, like, as a patient-wise, I'm like, bro, like, dude, you don't understand. You are literally killing yourself.
I have to play some devil's advocacy just for some pushback. I agree with you 100%. But just coming from a compassionate perspective of some people and the society in which we are in now, life in America is about comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is not comfortable. Waking up an extra hour early to go to the gym for 45 minutes is hard for a lot of people. It's an uncomfortable area, but that is where growth happens. But for the pushback, there are certain environmental factors that we have that Americans or any humans did not have 60 years ago, and for what I know, all of time.
Yeah.
High fructose corn syrup.
So you're talking about, like, in our diet.
I'm talking, just like certain things, like they're like neonicotinoid pesticides. Like, so even if you are, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, if you want to eat a vegetable, like, say, let's, one carrot today has the nutritional value, or no, one carrot in 1960 has the nutritional value of 11 carrots today.
Oh, wow.
We're, the way we, like, you know what GMO and organic is. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're not buying organic, if you're not going to Whole Foods and spending an extra $3 per apple, basically, there's a plane going over these fields, the corn, the wheat, spraying a product called glyphosate.
Yeah.
And that is a it's a carcinogen. Mm-hmm. But so even people who think they're just like, even kids at school, they eat a banana from school or they eat the green beans from school.
It's not as good as
they are the lowest, probably the lowest quality vegetables and fruits that humans have been consuming ever.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So just little things like that. So just to play some devil's.
Why do you think that is, though?
Profits. It's easier. So if we have 10 farm workers walking through the fields, spraying each individual weed with those pesticides, that's more expensive than having one plane just fly over the entire field in 20 minutes. And
No. Well, I'm thinking, like, why do you think they do that? Why do you think they spray them?
Oh, profits. Profits.
And what does the profits lead to, do you think? Like, how do they profit off of it?
Oh, they're just able to produce more, less crop dyes. They're able to get more from farm to table. Yeah. But
yeah, I know what you're saying.
We're compromising. And I think there's a lot of... There's more than just food that's happening, like polluters putting things in our waters.
Yeah.
I can go on.
Dude, so I think the reason why they do this, like I said earlier, I think they're all in cahoots with each other. Mm-hmm. I think they're all bumping elbows. And the reason why Bill Gates is arguably trying to take over the whole agriculture of America is actually fucking insane, bro. And I know it's a conspiracy to a lot of people, but it is not, bro. He is buying... every big crop farm in America,
the percentage of the farms he owns.
And the farms that do not want to sell, they randomly burn. They're randomly on fire.
I'm not aware of that last part.
Bro,
but
look it up. It is crazy.
Every French fry eaten from McDonald's is a Bill Gates produced French fry.
And what's also insane, bro, is that so he's in cahoots with that, right? And he's also growing non-chicken. Non-beef. I'm not sure if you've ever seen this yet.
Oh, like the lab-grown?
The lab-grown meat, bro, which is fucking terrifying, bro, because no one knows what's in these meats, right? And also Bill Gates, everyone, there's a conspiracy that he's the one who kind of funded and helped COVID-19, right? So what is he up to by trying to control the whole agriculture system ever? If you go on right now, there's literally, I believe it's the FDA website, they do not recommend people growing their own crops, growing their own food, because it's bad for you. They don't want hunters going out hunting their own meat because the meat is bad for you. It's literally farm to table in the best possible way, but they want to do that so they can control our lifestyle because it leads to billions of dollars in the healthcare system because they come in because their body's fucked.
Let me steer the conversation away a little bit. Exactly what you were saying is why I'm considering a homestead.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So I have some land out in Cuba, New Mexico. Mm. 10 acres.
Free land.
There's a nice stream on it, a nice pond, yeah. A little cabin, some road access. But just to get away from everything, if we're growing our own food, if we were taking care, like, we, since the Industrial Revolution, we have gotten so far away from what I think humans' job is to be with nature synergistically. Like, I was in an Instagram comment conversation the other day, and someone was ragging on electric cars, and I said, well, if you have solar panels and then you have an electric car, well, you can go solar or transportation neutral, carbon neutral with that. And where was I going with that?
So I'm going to let you gain your thought because we got to take our first break because we're already a 30-minute break. So I'll let you gain your thought and then hear some word from our sponsors. Hope you guys enjoy. Peace. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the People's Cup. This podcast is sponsored by Pit Boss Logistics. Pit Boss Logistics is a car transportation business based out of there in Frisco, Texas. They make sure that your personal vehicles and or your business vehicles are transported safely and in pristine condition. The People's Cup podcast has used them countless of times and will continue to use them for years to come. They make sure that your needs are met. Tell them the People's Cup podcast sent you and they take care of you. Anytime, any place. Pit Boss Logistics. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the People's Cup podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Spartan Jerky. Spartan Jerky is a great snack to snack on, whether you're hitting the gym, hunting, fishing, hitting 18 holes on the course, and or just hanging out outside. It's a great source of protein, and it has none of the preservatives and chemicals that you see in a lot of other big name brands. Spartan Jerky is based out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can find them on Amazon and or my Instagram. Check them out. Snack like a warrior. Spartan Jerky. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. All right, guys, and we are back. Thank you for our sponsors. We appreciate that. But Sam, where were you going with that whole?
Since the Industrial Revolution, humans have been separating themselves from our synergistic nature with the environment and our ecosystems. I feel that just our car, that like I said earlier, we Americans value comfort. We focus on comfort.
Yeah, 1,000%.
But I don't think humans were designed. I think humans were perfectly designed. I think everything is perfectly designed. The fact that our lungs are perfectly compatible with the trees to where what we exhale, the trees inhale, and they produce what we inhale for life, that's far too perfectly designed to be a coincidence. To your testament of your faith earlier,
yeah,
everything is far too perfectly designed. That being said, I think nature and humans were designed to work synergistically together. And I was having a conversation with someone about electric cars.
Yeah.
And they were saying that humans are bad for the environment. And I argue that 100%. If you look at the way the native and the indigenous people of the Americas lived,
mm-hmm.
perfectly synergistic with the way nature intended. When people say, let's cut down, like, cutting down trees is bad. No, it's not. If we're cutting down dead trees, we're preventing overpopulation of forests.
Yeah.
And we're using that for shelter, and we're preventing forest fires simultaneously. There's so many perfect synergies with humans and nature. And so I think that we've separated ourselves from that for comfort. But I've noticed a trend of people leaving our lives that normal Americans live now and starting to go back to the older ways, like we were saying, growing our own foods.
Bro, it's because the world is so fucked up right now. And it is, if you believe in any kind of afterlife for your good deeds, you know, you're rewarded, right? For your bad deeds, you're punished. I think everyone who's kind of been involved in the big pharma and the agriculture, like for the worse, just so you could make Americans sick, so you could profit off it, is arguably one of the worst things you could do. Dude, it's bad. And I'm reading the Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and we're going to open this can of worms as well. He talking about COVID-19 in a way that my mind has like switched, right? Because all this information in this book, granted, I'm only in like a couple chapters, few chapters, it's actually fucking insane. Because COVID-19... we just dropped the ball so much. And I think we used to think we dropped the ball, and that's why it got so uncontrolled. But now I'm looking at a perspective like, no, they wanted the uncontrolled chaos to fucking profit off of it.
I don't know if it was as much for profits. I think there's a certain power that comes with control of the population. And this is where a lot of Donald Trump supporters get frustrated with me, is because I say that Donald Trump allowed Anthony Fauci to take away our constitutional rights. We have the right to assembly.
He was also on the way out, though, when this was going on.
Trump? So,
yeah.
Well, to be fair, it was an election year.
So, I mean, he
wasn't necessarily on the way out when this all, because this was March 2020 and the election happened, or the November 4th or 5th.
I think it was a little interesting because I just don't think he knew what the fuck was going on. I think he tried to like pull it back. And then you have Anthony Fauci and all these other Democrats who are like, you're a fucking idiot. You need to listen to us. And that's
not
where
just Democrats.
Yeah. And that's where I think he kind of pushed back a little bit.
So what we're referring to is what he likes to say, drain the swamp.
Yeah.
He had good intention, and I liked that he wanted to drain the swamp, because we are aware that there are swamp. We're talking about the swamp creatures that are engraved in Washington currently.
You mean like the bad people, politicians? Is that what you mean, like swamp people?
Yeah.
Swamp, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just like, well, because he said drain the swamp, so I'm just playing on.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Okay, I got it now.
And so, with that, I just don't. He's been a businessman his whole life, a successful whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But he was not. He has not been working with these regulatory industries, these three letter industry or regulators. FDA,
NIH,
HHS, all these. He didn't know the people, and he didn't really even, in my opinion, I don't think he understood the reasons a lot of those regulators were functioning, why they were created, and that's my opinion. I could be wrong. But now we're going to start talking about Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is a environmental attorney who has been suing federal institutions, regulators, corrupt corporations, polluters, just everybody for years.
One of the good guys.
I'd like to think so. CNN would not agree with that. But
that's just because he's a radical independent. That's all the reason why, to be fair,
I think he's a Democrat. I think he's a traditional Democrat in the way that – so in 1977, the ACLU, I believe, is what they're called. In Tuskegee, Illinois, there was the American Nazi Party. They marched down this predominantly Jewish neighborhood. And as we know today, far-left liberals, just kind of Democrats in general, cancel culture is very alive. And if you say something, cancel them. That's why a lot of us have never even heard of Bobby Kennedy Jr. But back in the day, liberals used to fight for that. They used to say, even though we don't agree with what this person is saying, we are going to fight for their right to say it because they're an American, and we have that constitutional right to say whatever we want. And so there's all these arguments happening about that. But
freedom of speech, baby. Fucking America, dude.
First Amendment.
That's the greatest fucking thing about this country, man. And what is, I don't mean to cut you off, but the thing that's so fucking awesome, dude, I'm kind of going to go on a rant here, is that America is fucking designed for everyone. Anyone could come to this country and fucking succeed, and I thoroughly believe that. I thoroughly believe in hard work. I believe in all that shit. But the reason why cancel culture is getting so prevalent nowadays, bro, is because, like, just because Robert Kennedy doesn't believe in COVID or believe the conspiracies with COVID, he's automatically deemed a right winger. Automatically. Off the fucking rip, bro. Same shit with, like, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has said multiple times on his podcast that he does not like does not like Donald Trump.
Right.
He doesn't agree with what Donald Trump is doing. And so, but he says he likes him more than what Joe Biden is. So right away, Joe Rogan is deemed as an extremely right-winged fuck, right? And it's insane, dude. And that's why it comes back to cancel culture, bro. I used to be so kind of iffy on this podcast. Like, I can't have this podcast that we're talking about now because automatically someone will cancel me. They'll contact my job. But right now, bro, I don't give a fuck. I will say whatever I want on this podcast because it is my fucking American right. And it has nothing to do with my job. It has nothing to do with, like, anything except the things that I believe in. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but that's what you're saying.
Oh, no. That is a reason why I support this person for the political office that he is running for, because he, unlike, and this is where Donald Trump supporters will get frustrated with me, but I think that Donald Trump was lacking in the knowledge to prevent those regulatory industries or whoever, the profit mongers, there's a corrupt collusion of state and corporate powers happening. And that is an atrocity to the American people, because that means the 1% is being catered to. And I just think that Donald Trump didn't have the capacity to fix that in which he wanted to do. And to his credit, he wanted to. He still does. And maybe 4 years in office has prepared him more so to do what he wants to do. He's talking about not bringing people back into the positions that they were because he doesn't trust them anymore. So maybe he has learned. But there is someone who has spent the last four decades trying to ensure that these people are held to the standards in which they are supposed to be held to. And
it's kind of fucked up, man, because although I'm kind of a fan I'm not kind of a fan. I am a fan of RFK. I think it will do wonders for this country. I don't think he'll win.
I've had to separate myself from the. So, full transparency, I am a volunteer for the campaign. I've never volunteered for a political campaign in my life. I haven't even voted in every single election that I've been eligible to vote in. But.
Because you're a football coach.
Yeah. Asshole. And yeah, to be fair, I was a little more politically motivated at that time still. But the hope and passion for the country in which Bobby Kennedy Jr. has inspired in me is something that I will appreciate him forever for.
So do you think he actually could win?
Yes. So, okay, let's talk some statistics, some polls, and polls could be wrong, and I can be an idiot. And
no.
But the last one I saw, 46% of Americans are registered independents. 28% of Americans are registered Democrats, and it was like 23% of Americans are registered. There's something along those lines, roughly.
Yeah, I'm registered independent.
I'm a registered Democrat.
Oh.
But I'm going to be parting ways with my party affiliation next time. But
for this election?
Well, no, just I'm not going to be a registered Democrat anymore. I'm very disappointed in the Democratic Party for not being Democratic.
Yeah, because like you said, it's RFK a Democrat. I listened to the podcast. I did a lot of research on him before we did this podcast. I listened to the podcast with him and Theo Von, and he asked Theo Von, like, would you say you're a Democrat? And he's like, yeah, 1,000%. He described what he believes in a true Democratic fashion, yes, but to the American eye, he looks like a radical right winger. Because of
the Democratic Party has changed
drastically, bro.
But just to answer your question, if we voted along party lines, he's winning overwhelmingly. But if we actually go into the support that he has among those demographics, and I'm a volunteer in the campaign, so I see a lot of these people.
Yeah.
He's actually winning among independents. And if independents are the biggest voting block, that's a game changer. Especially if I have two people that I've been able to convince to vote for Bobby Kennedy
mm-hmm.
that are young and they're in their 20s, but they also have never voted in their life. And that is a lot of Bobby Kennedy's base. Is he's inspiring a lot of people who have been very disenfranchised with the political system in general. So if we're just considering the however many millions of Americans that voted last time, yes, probably he won't win. But I already know, I can tell you double-digit people that did not vote last time that are probably going to be voting for Kennedy. So I believe he can win. But for my own mental health, because of the amount of energy I'm putting into this campaign, I've had to separate myself from the result of the election. We've experienced 4 years of Joe Biden. We've experienced 4 years of Donald Trump. The world's not going to end either way. Hopefully.
I mean, hopefully not. But I would like to think he could win. Cause I do think he has a lot of potential to change this country for the better. But I think when it comes down to it, man, I think Trump is going to win. And I think when it comes to the polls,
he's not going to need Bobby Kennedy's help to win, though.
No, he's not.
Let me rephrase that. Joe Biden is not going to need Bobby Kennedy's help to lose. He's going to lose this election regardless.
Dude, he's going to lose, I think, by a lot.
Right. And God forbid, check out no shoes, no shirt, no Secret Service. Bobby Kennedy still does not have Secret Service.
Oh, he's the only guy who doesn't have Secret Service, correct?
And his father and uncle were assassinated while running for president or being president. That's alarming. But so worst case scenario, Bobby Kennedy is assassinated. And it's Trump and Biden. Because I know Bobby Kennedy's not dropping out of the race at any point. He's not going to. I trust him when he says that. Mm-hmm. So that's the only way. I think it's a two-man race. I think it's a three-man race, but that's the only way. If it is Biden versus Trump, Trump's winning. If it's Biden versus Kennedy versus Trump, it's a game changer. We don't know.
Really?
I think so. Well, I think the odds. I saw some Vegas odds for the, and it's actually.
You could bet on this?
Yeah. Trump is number one. Biden's number two. Michelle Obama is number three. Gavin Newsom is number four. and Bobby Kennedy is number five in like possible. So there's, we got to understand that Joe Biden's 81 years old. The average lifespan of a human isn't even 81 years old.
It's like 76. So this is what the People's Cup prediction is. The People's Cup prediction is, I think we're going to get to around August, July time, and we're going to see Joe Biden like really lose his shit. I think he's not going to be able to function properly.
Did you see the State of the Union?
Yes, it was terrible. He fucking...
To be fair, I think they had him on some good amphetamines, and he was hyped up for that. So I watched him.
Fuck no, bro. He said COVID vaccine cures cancer. He literally said that. I'm not lying.
But just his speaking ability was on point compared to... I agree completely. So I was watching YouTube. So I don't want to just be like, just Bobby Kennedy. I've been listening to Trump and I've been listening to Biden too, just so I can create a better argument for myself at least. And Biden, I was listening to a joint address of President Biden and the Australian Prime Minister. The Australian Prime Minister would look up and speak eloquently to the crowd. He would look at his note and then he knew exactly what to say and knew his talking points.
Spoke well.
Joe Biden was reading off of his paper right here and looking down at his paper the entire time. And he was not speaking nearly to the capacity as he was for the State of the Union. So that's why I think that they had him on some amphetamines for the State of the Union, just because he was jazzed up compared to what he normally is.
But dude, you can't. That's not a reliable thing.
That's not sustainable.
It's like, not sustainable, dude. And that's why I think when it comes to the fucking the debates. Bro, I think if it is Trump and Biden,
they have
to
have a debate.
I think fucking Trump is gonna wash his ass, bro. I think it's not even gonna be in like a realm.
This is where it gets interesting. So if there are debates, and Bobby Kennedy can get on the debate stage,
it would be really interesting.
A seasoned litigator, he's the top environmental attorney in North America. Not just like you could make an argument that he's been one of the top environmentalists in the world for the last 40 years.
It'd be game changing.
But if you get him on the debate stage, so there's two qualifications this year. Well, besides the like qualifications to run for president, you have to be running for president. You have to be polling at 15%, and you have to be on all 50 states' ballots. And that is a new rule this year, the 50 state ballot thing.
Which is fucking bullshit because they're trying to take Trump off multiple ballots, bro.
Well, they're trying not to let Kennedy on the ballots either.
It's crazy, bro. They don't want these guys debating Biden.
That's not going to happen. So the Supreme Court the other day basically just decided that they're going to wait until after the election to decide if he's going to be on the ballot.
They're trying to implement that rule, which is good, bro. You should let these fucking people.
We are not the Soviet Union,
dude. As long as they're pulling in 15%, they should be able to fucking debate, which I wholeheartedly believe in.
Exactly,
and, dude. I've seen RFK talk. I'm gonna call him RFK just for the sake of the. Whatever, but I've seen him talk. I think he talks very well, but I think
for the spasmodic dysphonia.
If him and Biden and Trump win, bro, out of those three speakers, I think Trump's the best speaker. I think RFK is the best speaker, but I think because of his fucking
What they did last time though is they shut off the mics because Trump was trying to talk over Biden. So I think that makes a difference. I think if they're shutting off mics and actually even if they give Biden 30 minutes to talk, Trump 30 minutes to talk, and Kennedy 10 minutes to talk, I don't think it's going to be a competition.
Could be a little different, huh?
Because you got to think about the people that – Trump is a good debater – but I think his lack of knowledge on things is a reason why, because he just starts ignoring things. If you get a seasoned litigator like this man, he sued Monsanto for $2.2 billion and won.
Yeah.
Well, he was on a team of attorneys, but still, let's say this. There are some amazing things that have been accomplished in the world. Alexander the Great, the creation of the pyramids, the American Revolution, us beating England or Britain, Great Britain, and the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
There have been some amazing things that have come out of low odds.
Okay. But
the best things in your life are probably some of the hardest things to attain.
How so?
For instance, okay, let's just use my college degrees. I had to go to college for 6 years to get 2 degrees. I had to sacrifice 6 years of my life,
yeah,
regardless if I was having fun or not, to accomplish a goal.
Mm-hmm.
The harder, the bigger goal you set, the harder it's going to be to attain. Alexander the Great trying to conquer the empire and create the empire in which he did, almost impossible. But he made it happen.
But things were also different back then. You could fucking kill people for an hour.
Oh,
you,
no. And
get
did.
Away with
and
it.
And he
yeah,
did.
Yeah. So control is a little easier when you're able to fucking merc someone with an army. But I know what you're saying, though. I understand.
Bobby Kennedy's creating an army. And
I just
one thing that's happening right now that other – you won't see any Democrats or Republicans.
There you go.
You won't see any Democrats or Republicans right now out on the streets canvassing for their candidate. But because Bobby Kennedy has to get ballot access, we're already having volunteer meetings. We're already rallying. We're already doing all these huge things and assembling an army of people on the ground.
Yeah.
So we already have organization. We already, like, we're already working. We're already spreading the word. But
yeah, you got it grooving.
What happens in September, August, October, that time frame, when we have 10 months of experience already under our belt and the Biden supporters are barely getting ramped up. Like, there's some good stuff happening. And, like, to your point, I do believe that Trump has the best odds of winning this election. Yeah. But for me as an American, I am...
Yeah, you should... You
I'm going to do everything I can to promote the America that I believe in and the vision for America that I see as a young person. Because there's not a lot of hope for young people. I'm so proud of you because you have been able to, you are entrepreneurial. And
thanks, man.
You've been able to, you're becoming BlackRock with all these.
The podcast, dude.
Well, no, with all the rentals.
Oh, the rentals? Oh, yeah, man. Oh, the houses. Yeah, dude,
so,
I just.
But that being said, a lot of people our age, the ones that went to college, like, I don't know if everybody knows, Ray went to Carrington.
I went to Brown Mackey College.
And so he was able to get his nursing degree on like kind of accelerated pace, right?
2 years, yeah.
So you were working
at 20 years
when
old.
I was a sophomore in college.
I was a nurse before I could drink alcohol.
Exactly. Like you were making money but you got into the workforce right before 2020 happened.
Like about 3 years before, but yeah.
And so you were able to start developing your assets. But for most of our generation that went to college and graduated around 2020, 2021, there was no...
Life was weird.
There was no accumulation of assets. And we were also... Most of us were $50,000 to $200,000 in debt from college.
Yeah.
And so then the price of a house went from $215,000 in 2019 to the average cost of a house today in the United States is about $400,000.
And that's not including the interest rate.
And exactly. So if we, like, now housing has become more unrealistic for young people. And there are things that Bobby Kennedy has promoted that make me believe in the future, make me believe in the American dream.
Yeah, which is great, bro. The American dream is something that every American should believe in, bro.
But it was a lie to our generation for the most part. Because so the American dream, if you work 40 hours a week in the United States of America, minimum wage was set so that you can afford a house, afford a car, afford a savings, and afford to support a family. That's what I'm pretty sure that's what minimum wage was originally set for. In 1960, the average buying power compared to today would be about $173,000. So the average worker in 1960 had $173,000 of buying power compared to what we do today. So the American dream has changed. Unless you're making $173,000 today, the American dream is not the same as it was in the 60s.
The American dream is...
Boomers were coddled.
Boomers were very coddled, and they were very fortunate.
And they don't appreciate it.
They don't. But I think when it comes to the American dream, I don't think it's necessarily about buying power. Yes, do I think, are we in an uncontrolled economy right now? Yes, 1,000%. Like, everyone's like, let's continue to raise minimum wage. I'm like, you guys are fucking idiots. The more minimum wage gets increased, the more fucking
inflation.
The more Chipotle burritos are going to go up.
Inflation is a stealth tax on the middle class.
It's not attainable. So when everyone's like, let's raise minimum wage, I'm like, you guys are not fighting the good fight, bro.
One of the things that really frustrated me about President Biden's State of the Union is that he was talking about a prosperous economy and things of this nature. And I'm like, you're gaslighting me, bro. Like, I have to, if I go to the grocery store tonight after work, I'm going to spend $50 to make dinner.
And that's not a lot, bro. Like, I'm telling you, I went to the grocery store yesterday. I bought $130 of food, and we'll probably be through it by
maybe a week,
maybe a Wednesday.
Exactly.
Not even a week, dude.
Like, unless we're eating rice and beans, food has become a genuine issue on the budget. There's many things that have become an issue on the budget. The average rent went from like $1,300 a month to $2,000 a month in the last few years.
Yeah. So when I'm talking about the American dream, I'm talking it from an aspect of hard work. Mm-hmm. I think working hard, getting achievable goals through grit and hard work is something that every American should believe in, because it can be, bro. Mm-hmm. You think the reason why I do have these rentals, the reason why I have a very nice truck, the reason why I'm able to do this podcast and produce it is not because of fucking luck. It's not because I have a great job. It's because I fucking work hard. I work my ass off. Yeah. I work overtime. I fucking work hard, bro. And I believe in it. I believe if you work hard, your goals will be attainable and you will be able to believe. But you have to believe in yourself, bro. You have to believe in yourself. And a lot of people in our generation, not you, but a lot of people that we may know, they're like,
I feel bad for me.
I can't afford rent. I can't do this. I need this, man. Oh, so bad. It's like, fuck that, bro. Get off your fucking ass. Yep. Stop bitching and go fucking work hard, bro. I believe in that 100% hard work.
One thing that
works.
Really makes me love America is that we have an entrepreneurial spirit here that is non-existent in other parts of the world. People like my aspiration. So I don't know if I should say this, because if I fail, man, this is on the internet.
You should say it, bro. Fuck yeah.
I want to own a gym someday. I want to focus on athletic performance on young people and mm-hmm. just teaching the younger generation good, healthy habits and how to move for the rest of your life. So I can somehow put a small dent in the chronic health epidemic that's happening in America in my community. If I can somehow improve my community, I will feel good about myself. And so, you know Les Brown, inspirational, the black dude?
I'm going to let you finish that thought right after our break. So here is another break. Word from our sponsors. Hope you guys enjoy. Peace. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the People's Cup. This podcast is sponsored by Pit Boss Logistics. Pit Boss Logistics is a car transportation business based out of there in Frisco, Texas. They make sure that your personal vehicles and or your business vehicles are transported safely and in pristine condition. The People's Cup podcast has used them countless of times and will continue to use them for years to come. They make sure that your needs are met. Tell them the People's Cup podcast sent you and they take care of you. Anytime, any place. Pit Boss Logistics. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the People's Cup podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Spartan Jerky. Spartan Jerky is a great snack to snack on whether you're hitting the gym, hunting, fishing, hitting 18 holes on the course, and or just hanging out outside. It's a great source of protein, and it has none of the preservatives and chemicals that you see in a lot of other big name brands. Spartan Jerky is based out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can find them on Amazon and or my Instagram. Check them out. Snack like a warrior. Spartan Jerky. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Peace.
Les Brown, inspirational speaker. I listen to him a lot. He has some very good words. Something he talks about, and this is really important to me. This is one of my motivational factors just in life.
Yeah.
When you are on your deathbed. Okay, so like you're talking about spirituality and faith, I am a Catholic. I believe in Jesus. I am a Christian. So I have this theory that God has blessed every specific person with very specific gifts.
Yeah.
I'm good at motivating people. I have this knack for seeing the best in people. When I see people, like a new client, I don't see them for who they are, I see them for who they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And for better or for worse in my life, I've been burned a couple times by that, but I see the best in people, and I want to believe. I'm an optimist.
You believe in humanity.
Yes, for better or for worse. Yeah. But at the end of, Les Brown says something, at the end of your life, when you're sitting on your deathbed, all these gifts are going to be around you, and they're going to be looking at you, and they're going to be like, God gave us to you to spread to the world, and we are going to die here with you because you did not live to your potential. You did not grow and spread your great gifts. Ooh. Like, there are specific things that Ray Garza has in you that Sam Garcia just can't do. Like, you have specific gifts, and I believe this for every person.
Yeah.
You have specific gifts that you were supposed to give to the world if you live to your potential.
Mm.
And at the end of your life, these gifts will surround you at your deathbed. And it is up to you if those gifts are going to be mad at you or if those gifts were given to the world.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like David Goggins, I read his book and it talks about that as well. He says, you know, at his deathbed, he wants every version of himself, but in the abilities that he could have achieved talking to him at his deathbed. And so he said, you know, he had, you know, the person who was a scientist or a person who was an ultra marathoner talking to him as this 300-pound man on his deathbed, and then, hey, you fucking bitch, this could have been you if you fucking worked hard, you know? And it really opened my eyes, like, to a lot of things, man, because, like, I was talking I did a podcast this morning, I kind of was talking about the same thing, that, like, every human, we were beautifully created by the ultimate painter, the ultimate crafter, the creator of life, created me and you.
Like I said, perfectly designed.
And it is a shame that we don't create. Every human being was created to create. Yeah, I always say that, like, whether, like, you know, you're a musician, you're a personal trainer, you're a podcaster, you're an artist, you're a painter, you're a pianist, like, whatever it is, every human was designed to create. And the same way you said it, like, every human has their own skills and their traits that some aren't attainable. Like, bro, I will never be a drastic musician. Never, right? But that doesn't mean you won't have the ability to create. And I always promote to people, like, dude, just find creative stuff that you're interested in and just see where it goes. You know, find your craft. Like, this podcast was a little fucking baby when I created it. I did it in my college house when I lived with my roommates in the corner of my room, dude. It was such a small thing. And
I was really jealous of your first 70 guests.
70 guests? Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on for a while, but I feel like I haven't got able to get around. There's a lot of people I want to have on.
There's a lot of people. You're a very popular guy, to be fair.
I'm not that popular. I want this podcast to be kind of what Joe Rogan does. I mean, I'm not trying to copy him essentially, but everyone is just so differently in their own certain ways.
It's a conversation.
And I think everyone is so fucking fascinating. I think everyone's mind is so creative. Like, I always tell everyone in here, like, this is a look into my mind. Like, this is how my mind functions. I function in weird ways. Like, I'm really into flowers and plants. I fucking love the Dallas Cowboys. I fucking believe in music festivals.
2025 I love poker. Super Bowl champs.
I love fucking traveling. Like, It is a shame that people don't tap into the creative realm, because everyone has one.
A lot of people lose it as kids because of the confinements of the educational system today.
Oh, yeah, dude. 1,000%, bro.
And, like, if people were taught to be entrepreneurs and follow their path and their passions. There's a friend of mine, her and her boyfriend work out at my gym all the time. Her name's Sarah. She opened up a pottery business. Ooh. She started doing was making pottery, and she started, like, live streaming it on TikTok.
That's sweet.
And then before you know it, she had like 400,000 followers on TikTok.
I have to reach out to her, man.
Just literally. Oh, she's awesome. She's super cool. But she literally turned that into, hey, I'll do some online orders. To now she has a little facility downtown, I think Central.
Oh yeah, I'm out of the information.
Where she does like classes and stuff. Like, me, that's what we'll do. Me, you, Chelsea, and Alex will go down and
Chelsea loves that shit.
And, like, and we'll just make pottery.
Is it, like, on a wheel?
Yeah, like it's legit.
We made we made pottery in North Carolina when we lived there, and I don't know where that mug is. My mug's fucking ugly as fuck, but I use it. It's one time. But back to the kind of the conspiracy realm. I kind of want to talk a little bit more about that. So, dude.
A conspiracy is only a conspiracy until it's proven true.
Ooh, that's a good statement, bro.
Bobby Kennedy says that Wi-Fi has a certain radiation that could be causing cancer in humans.
I did see that this morning.
And he actually just won in the Federal Court of Appeals against the FEC because they're finding that he's not wrong. So it's only a conspiracy until it's
proven wrong. No, what was really interesting about him talking this morning, not talking to me, but I was listening to one of his podcasts, is the way his uncle, the reason why he was kind of a shot, why he was assassinated, essentially. So all of these, like, high
profile. Why do you think so?
Well, I think he was shot because he wanted to abolish the CIA and throw it to the masses. And I think the CIA was like, no, you're not going to do that, buddy, and then took him out. And I think he had the power to do so, and that's what scared him. That's why they took him out.
I want to break the CIA up into 1,000 pieces and scatter it into the wind.
Yep, that's what he said.
So you think that's the quote that got him killed?
I think that's exactly what got him killed, because everyone wanted him to invade Cuba.
And well, so he did the Bay of Pigs. So he had some people in his year, I forget their names, big CIA guys at the time. They felt that, so Castro had just gotten into power. They overthrew the previous.
Who was a radical.
Yeah. Dictator. And essentially what was happening is the Soviets were trying to put nuclear missiles in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And Cold War. I think if we didn't have JFK as president during that time period, we probably already had a nuclear annihilation. Like, we were very blessed that John Kennedy was president when he was. That being said, I don't think you're wrong. There was a lot of people that, especially in the military, the people in his ears, the generals, they wanted just to nuke Russia because we had the biggest bombs, we had better bombs, and they couldn't keep up at that time. One of the things he was asked is, what would you want on your gravestone before he died? And he said he kept the peace.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what he wants written on his gravestone, because he thinks that's the most important job as an American president, is to keep the peace.
Yeah.
And peace is not profitable for the military-industrial complex, and that's why we're in Ukraine giving billions of dollars. And I think there's been a comic book depiction of Putin in that entire situation. I'm not saying I think Putin is a JFK by any means. I don't think he's... Regardless of my opinion of Putin.
I think Putin keeps Russia, Russia. I think he believes in his nation.
He believes in Soviet Union.
And I think he, which I'm not saying he's, I mean, I'm saying he's a great leader for Russia.
He loves Russia.
He loves Russia, which I think every fucking president should also feel like. Like, you know what? And the reason why JFK kind of was, you know, I like JFK as a president, but the statement that he said when he wanted to invade Cuba, well, he didn't want to invade Cuba initially, right? And he told him, he's like, you know, what's going on over there? That's their government. That's their business. We don't need to get involved, which I honestly wholeheartedly kind of respect. Because when it comes to Ukraine, I'm like, I kind of understand why America's involved in Ukraine, because we're involved in NATO, and I get that. But all the money we're spending there, go ahead.
No. Finish that thought.
I think all the money that we're sending there is actually fucking ridiculous, bro. So we have sent more money there than we have spent on the entire interior issue that America has right now. We've spent,
I want to say, let's just say over $100 billion. I know it's a lot
it's
more
billions
than that.
Of dollars,
it's,
bro.
It's over $100 billion. I want to say the federal budget for the FDA is about $9 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is wild.
Like, the people who are supposed to ensure that the health of the American people is optimal are getting a lot less money than the war machine. And that is, so NATO, you brought up NATO.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're talking about Putin. In the 90s, I want to say former Secretary of State James Baker, I think this is who said this. When the Berlin Wall fell, we promised Russia that we would not move NATO one inch to the east. Now we have moved NATO to Russia's borders.
Oh.
And
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So we basically, they agreed to the fall of the Soviet Union, all that good stuff. Capitalism. And I am a free market capitalist, let me just say.
Mm-hmm.
But NATO started expanding towards Russia and Ukraine. Russia has been invaded multiple times through Ukraine. And so that is kind of why that's a red line for them.
Okay, like I get it.
They're okay with Russia being its own sovereign nation, but they do not want Russia or Ukraine being a part of NATO because we will have nuclear bombs 5 minutes
down the
away
down
from
the street
Kremlin.
From them. Down the
literally,
street from them.
We can blow up the Kremlin in 5 minutes if NATO goes into Ukraine. And if NATO goes into Ukraine, World War III happens. So there's a lot of that's to be fair, just to
I know what you're saying. It makes sense why they're doing it. It makes sense why Russia is fucking popping off.
America is not always the good guy anymore, and it's tough.
Well, bro, you know what's really interesting about just America being involved in other politics? Like, I may get a lot of fucking backlash for this one, but like, what's going on in Gaza with Palestine versus Israel, bro? It's honestly kind of wild. To me,
this is okay.
So this is a touchy stubby for a lot
Very
of people.
Very touchy.
And I'm gonna say my opinion. Granted, it's my opinion, but I feel like I have some research behind it. So what's going on in Gaza versus Palestine and Israel has been going on for fucking years,
thousands of years.
And what's going on with the bombing and the shootings and kids dying is that fucked up? 1,000%. I 1,000% agree with that. But that is not America's business to be fucking with right now. I've been seeing countless of things saying, the president needs to say ceasefire, bro. They don't give a fuck what we say. They've been doing it for thousands of years. Just because the president say, let's ceasefire, they don't give a fuck, bro.
Who doesn't care?
The war over there, bro. That's been going on for thousands of years, and it will continue to go on for years, bro. And what one of the
peace in the Middle East in that region specifically is a sign of the end of times.
And, bro, what's actually really fucking interesting, bro, well, a lot of people don't realize, and I'm going to stay in this video after the podcast, Palestinians, the country that's being fucked up right now, the people that are being fucked up right now, right? Not the country. The people that are being fucked up right now, they're the same people. I'll show you the video. I have it up right here celebrating when United States was attacked by 9/11. They were in the streets fucking celebrating, saying, fuck yeah, America got attacked.
Palestinians specifically?
There's literally a video right here. I can show you to it right now, but I'll fuck up the podcast.
Regardless of their opinions of Americans, I think, okay. All right. Okay.
Well, let me finish my statement because I don't want it to end on that. So I just think what's going on there is terrible. I don't want to take that fact away. I just think America, we need to focus on America. You know, why aren't we focusing on the hundreds of thousands of kids that are being murdered in Chicago? Why aren't we focusing on the missing indigenous women across the nation that are Americans? Why aren't we focusing on the child sex trafficking going on in America today, in this city? Why aren't we focusing on this? But they want us to focus on Ukraine and Hamas and Gaza and Palestine. Bro, we need to focus on our own shit. America is a laughingstock right now compared to Russia, all this shit, bro. They are laughing at us because our fucking world leader can't fucking differentiate nothing. And the reason why Putin didn't fuck with America when Trump was in office, because Putin knew that if he fucks with America, Trump's about it. Like he's a fucking about it. He's about that smoke, bro. I mean,
Biden's about that smoke too. He's a warmonger just as much.
No, Biden is not about that smoke, bro.
I don't know. We bombed three countries the other day.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like with powerhouse countries.
Okay. Yeah.
Right,
we need no conflict with. Okay. Okay. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I just want to say what's going on. I don't want everyone to think like Ray doesn't agree that's going on is bad. I think it's bad, 1,000%. I just think we need to focus on what's going on in America first.
I have nothing but compassion for the Palestinians, the people living in Gaza, and the atrocities that are happening in this period of time.
Yes, it's fucking terrible.
That being said, Israel is an important democracy in the Middle East for American interests, specifically because most of those countries, there's no allies to America in that region of the world except for Israel. And like, even if we just back it up, okay, we established that this is a multi-millennium issue. Like, these conflicts have been happening since the days of Jesus.
And they will continue to happen past us.
That being said, Israel has a right to defend itself. Israel was the original nation there. There was no Israel in the 1920s, 1930s. We know what the Holocaust was.
Mm-hmm.
6 million Jewish people lost their lives. That was a genuine attempted genocide by Adolf Hitler.
And he was damn near close of successfully.
And he was, if it wasn't for the Russians and the U.S., he would have succeeded. That being said, there was, I feel personally, okay, so Palestine did not, they were not, they were a colonized country by the British at this time. The British basically said after World War II, because there was a two-state solution proposed by the Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
All a Zionist means is that the belief that the Israelis should have their own state.
Okay.
So that was the original belief of Zionism. And you can say there's Zionist extremists. I 100% agree. There's Christians. If you walk through the streets of Israel, there are extreme Zionists that will spit at your feet because you are not Jewish. So I understand that. Oh, I smell popcorn.
Yeah, I'm probably making it yet out there.
The Jewish people were given a much smaller area of land than that they currently have now by the British mandate. This is what it was, a British mandate. They proposed a two-state solution. We had Palestine and we had Israel. The Arabs were not okay with this. They were like, no.
Okay.
Obviously, the Palestinians were not happy about it. So we've had multiple wars. I want to say the War of 1948, the War of 1967.
Okay.
And I want to say six Arab nations attacked Israel. Israel stood no chance. Somehow they won. And to be fair, if me and you are both Christians, we know that the Jewish people are God's people. There have to the I hate to say this, but to the spoil the to the victor goes the spoils of victory.
Mm-hmm.
They won the war. They've won multiple wars. They took land for strategic placement of their.
Their nation, bro. You mean it's 1,000? I get what you're saying.
And so, Israel has offered multiple times peace agreements to secede land that they took during those.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say conquest because they were the ones that were attacked. But when you're like if Mexico bombed us, we're fucking shit up.
Like, yeah.
Plain and simple. Israel defended itself and they won. A lot of the people that are frustrated with the Jewish state, with Israel, with and Bibi Netanyahu is very dictatorish. He is a far right extremist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. So I don't think they have the best leader, and he's an extreme leader. He's an aggressive leader. That being said, they have the right to defend themselves. October 7th was an atrocity. You know, one of my best friends, he's a professional basketball player. He's been on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, Christian. Mm-hmm.
Lived in Israel. He showed me videos, and this is predating October 7th. I want to say he played there in the 2021, 2022-ish.
Okay.
He would show me videos of him walking on the beach and hearing the sirens and explosions going off overhead. Because Hamas was sending missiles towards Israel. And what Israel did is they created something called the Iron Dome.
So you're saying Hamas started?
What do you mean Hamas? Hamas was elected to power in 2006.
No, I'm saying, but did he start this war? Or start Hamas? Not start the war, start the...
October 7th, Hamas sent about 5,500 missiles... Not missiles, rockets. Missiles are guided. Rockets are not. They sent about 5,500 rockets towards Israel. And that was October 7th. Also, all that stuff, the people at the dance festivals, all that stuff.
Which it was, so then Israel is like,
okay, we have, so for every rocket that Hamas makes, it costs about $850 per rocket.
Okay.
For every missile from the Iron Dome, and basically the Iron Dome is just a missile defense system to protect the air. So all these rockets that get sent towards Israel, the Iron Dome is a missile defense system that takes down these rockets. This is where the money that Americans sent or sends to Israel goes to. It goes to the Iron Dome.
For defense.
Defense. It doesn't go for attacking. So 90% of the money that Americans send to Israel is to keep peace. Like literally Hamas.
Wow, I didn't know that, man. That's a good point, dude.
And so
when it comes to this topic, at least.
And so on October 7th, that was pretty much a red line. And to be fair, if Mexico sent one missile on Houston to take back Texas, which they have a right, like if we're talking like Texas was Mexico, New Mexico was Mexico,
yep.
Like this was Mexico. If Mexico wanted to reclaim this territory and they sent one missile towards El Paso, we would wipe them out in a week.
Probably less than that, to be quite honest with you. So
I want to be fair to both sides. I have nothing but compassion and prayers for the Palestinian people. What they're experiencing right now, like, it's an atrocity.
It is, yeah.
It kills my heart just talking about it and thinking about it. But as a nation of Israel, they have freedom of religion there. I can be a Christian and go to church in Israel. Mm. If I lived in the surrounding nations, I don't have that. They are run
people
by...
People Christian are getting beheaded.
They're
next door neighbors.
Those are theologian nations. They run by Islam.
Mm-hmm.
That is their governing principles. Israel is a democracy. They give freedom of religion. If you are a Palestinian, you are allowed to run for office in Israel. If you are a Jewish person, in a lot of those countries, I hate to say it, but they're...
Things would be different.
It's not the same. So it is... I don't want to continue funding... And it's not a genocide that is happening in Palestine. The goal of the Israelis is not to wipe out the entire Arab people. That is what a genocide is. It's trying to erase an entire population off the planet. What happened to the Jewish people was an attempted genocide. What's happening to the Palestinians is an atrocity, but I don't believe it's a genocide.
Yeah, and that's what I don't want to take that. Like, if anyone takes anything from this conversation, I want them to know, yes, we believe in that. What's going on over there to those people, to both sides of people, it's terrible. People are dying. Kids are dying. Babies are dying. And it is one of the worst things to
War
think about.
War is the worst thing of human nature.
I want to put America first, man. I think America is a country that has a lot of continuing issues, bro. And it's growing drastically. Even in this state that we live in, bro, the cartel, the drugs, the fentanyl epidemic, teenagers dying, the gang affiliations, like just everything that's going on in America. We need to focus on what's going on in America first before we focus on something that just I feel like we have no reason to, especially with, bro, America's not going to step in. Especially.
What do you mean?
When they said America needs to call it a ceasefire, I don't think we're going to call it a ceasefire.
Well, Joe Biden's been saying ceasefire a lot more. He has Kamala Harris saying ceasefire. They're saying it now, but they're saying it for political reasons. They want to win. They want Michigan, and that's not going
to
happen.
But they're not going to actually get a sense of over there, too, to, especially like, if Israel is one of our allies.
There's 200,000 people in Michigan that voted for ceasefire. Like, they wrote in some sort of vote to.
It's not gonna happen, right? It's a political move.
That being said,
because right now America, bro, if we're being completely honest, if World War III was the pop off, America and our allies, the two powerhouse other countries in the world, they're teaming up. Russia and China are teaming up.
Russia and China are a force, but America is. There is a reason Americans don't have free healthcare.
There is one, yeah, and I believe in that. But I think if World War III pops off, the nation of Israel is very close to a lot of our opponents, essentially. And so
yeah,
I think us,
everybody else is too. All of NATO is, or most of NATO, like even Taiwan, like
I know, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we're gonna step in. I really don't. I think
we have to. If we didn't, we would lose every ally we have if we did not step in with NATO. Like, NATO is an attack against one, it's an attack against all. If we were attacked by one country, we would expect all of NATO to help us out.
No. I'm talking about stepping into this Hamas Gaza thing going on.
Well, I mean, they're saying ceasefire. There's nothing you can make Bibi Netanyahu do.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think we're going to be over there and be like, we're going to send our troops there, so you fucking stop.
They still, like, the thing about Bibi Netanyahu is he has Israel's interests at heart, too. Yeah. Like, he's the same as Putin in the way that he cares about his country. Even if they come from a lack of compassion or little things like that. How much time we got?
We got I would say we got about 10 minutes. We're going to take another break here in about 3 minutes. But let's go ahead and just take a break now, and then we'll come back and finish with some closing thoughts.
To finish off the Israel-Palestine stuff and just the global conflict and the reason Bobby Kennedy is getting my support, one of his propositions is to end the conflict in Ukraine. He wants to create communication lines with Vladimir Putin again, and he wants to create peace in that region. By creating peace in that region and communication lines with the Russian president and with President Xi Jinping, president of China, he wants to get the major world leaders together and create peace in this region, in Palestine and Israel and the entire Iran's a completely different story, but in this region, which is a scary thought to me because of my biblical lessons. The rapture says that peace in this region is going to be the end of times,
The start of something. Yeah.
And so, but for me as a human, as an American, as a voter, hearing someone say that they want to reduce the military-industrial complex abroad, bring back the empire, and start exactly to what you're saying. He wants to bring back those hundreds of billions of dollars we're sending out to Ukraine and bring it back home and fix the streets of San Francisco, fix the streets of Albuquerque. He wants to get young people in houses. He wants to make Americans healthy.
Yeah,
he wants to take those funds that we're sending to war and death, and he wants to bring it back to the United States to focus on the health and well-being and the prosperity of a great American nation, which we are, which we have the capability of being. And we just haven't been living up to that. And I think Bobby Kennedy is going to be a great way to get us back to that.
Ooh, let's go ahead and end the podcast on that. No, man, that's a good way to end it, dude. Well, Sam, thanks for taking time out of your busy life and your life of campaigning and doing personal training, all that jazz, can hang out with us in the People's Cup, man. I appreciate it.
Can't wait for a round 2.
All right, man. There will be a round 2. I 1,000% promise you. Anyways, guys, take it easy. Have a good rest of your week. This is Ray signing off with the People's Cup. Oh, go ahead, Sam.
And if you just get the chance, Kennedy24.com. Or if you have 9 minutes, a quick YouTube search of Bobby Kennedy's State of the Union will give you a good grasp of what he feels his vision is for the nation, and it's very inspiring. If you're not a voter, if you're not involved in politics, I'm sorry for wasting your time.
Are you good? Peace. Later, guys.